hope it's not glitching that.
It
Yes.
is glitching. Practice. There we go. Question number one is very simply biggest fear.
My biggest fear. Biggest physical fear of like, I think I hate rats. I don't like fucking rats.
Rats.
Yeah, no, like furry little fast things. Do you know what I mean? Fucking, yeah. I mean,
Oh,
furry
fast.
vermin. I don't like them, right? Yeah. Would I say I'm scared of them? I'd fucking probably leg it if I seen a few of them. I'm not gonna lie. I think my main one that always probably creates the biggest amount of probably anxiety is time. Like, it's really cliche, but like time with people. Like, I'm very, very. Like if my missus would say, like, what's the thing that I fucking constantly stress about? It's time with my parents, time with my kids, time with I'm very, very it plays on my mind. Like I'm conscious of constantly making sure that I don't lose time with them. And I don't know. Well, I think that's probably everybody, but it is a fear of mine sometimes, and it does affect my decision making and stuff like that. And yeah, I'd say that that is a fear of mine of like not spending enough time with my parents whilst they're still here. This is quite fucking dull, isn't it? And grey, but yeah, stuff like that. I'd say that that's a fear of mine. What about you?
Can't actually think off the top of my head.
Yes. One of them questions, aren't it? It's like, what's your favorite film? You're never able to think of the bastard. You know what I mean? So you just rely on that one that you just is your go-to. All right, next question, seeing as though Nick got no fears. How important do you think an exit form is? What kind of questions do you think you 100% need to be involved?
I think from a feedback perspective, there's a couple of different reasons why. I would say an exit process, it doesn't necessarily have to be a form, but obviously a form you can kind of quantify data and feedback, can't you? Instead of remembering. So, but I think an exit process is important from a few different reasons. Number one, the obvious thing is getting to grips with why people are leaving, why they're getting how satisfied they feel they were with the service they had. Testimonials help at this point as well, not exclusively though. And I also feel that prompting people to think about the next steps or the continuation away from the service they've had from you is a great starting point to have a conversation, because there's lots of different reasons why people will leave, or lots of different catalysts why people will leave. But sometimes just that conversation can help people. I wouldn't say get, well, yeah, I would say buy back in to the process. I think is an important opportunity. And also you know, I think it's a great way of an extending your service, even when they're coming to kind of leave and not may potentially not be in the business anymore. I think it leaves a lasting impression. So yeah, those are the reasons why I would say it's important. And I think the types of questions to have on there are, as I said, like getting some type of rating on the service they they had and received, what they would change, how their expectations were met. Would they recommend friends, family members to you? And also, again, like the next steps and what they feel their challenges might be, moving forward. So, yeah, anything you'd add?
No, I agree. I agree. Went through this a little bit last week as well, with a couple of people on the group call. So, no, and I think the person who asked this was on that as well. So, no.
Have you ever sacked a client? And if so, why and how have you gone about it?
I probably have done it with more, but I think the only kind of formal one that I say formal because it ended up in a bit of a disagreement, dispute, and all of that type of stuff that I remember is it was the standard reasons where I was no longer comfortable, the client paying me the amount that they were paying, and they wasn't doing the things that they needed to do. And we'd had about from I remember right there, I can remember the where it come to in the end. I remember where I was in Fitness First in the assessment room, and this woman was raising her voice and all of that, and all of the other PTs were like walking past to try and hear what was going on because clearly they're nosy bastards. But yeah, so that's the one I can remember. I'd had two or three chats before. I brought it up in a way of so how I did it, I was like, right, sat them down in the consultation room in the gym. I was going to say probably not the best area, but it was an enclosed area really. Where I turned around and said, right, obviously I've highlighted this in two or three different occasions. This is where you want to be. At that point, I probably wasn't creating a lot of autonomy in what I was saying. I probably didn't really know, but I was like, I believe this is what you've come for. This is what you're currently doing. And as a result of that, you're not getting where you want to be. You've continued to pay me, you've cancelled a few sessions and all of that. And I just think it's best for both of us to just end the agreement. And she was like adamant that she didn't want to end it, the agreement, and that I was in the wrong for bringing it up, and I needed to support her more, and I needed to do better, and she wasn't getting what she paid for. So it ended up a bit like that, a bit messy. So I probably had multiple times where I've sat down with clients and gone, do you feel like you're getting what you pay for? All of that type of stuff. And they've naturally gone, no, actually, and I've got a lot going on personally, professionally at the minute. Maybe this is not my focus. Maybe it's not the right time to change. And it's left on. So it's probably happened a few times, but I wouldn't say sacked. Whereas that one ended in a bit of a disagreement. And it kind of felt like I was sacking the client because after the disagreement, I was like, well, there's no way I want to coach you anymore. So yeah, that's kind of how I left it. But it was really just a normal way of probably what most PTs would go through with a client where they've become non-adherent, struggle, battle all of the time, and it didn't feel right taking the money anymore. All of the ones that I've had was that route. So that's kind of how it happened. I think if I was to look back and do it again, I'd probably within that process, I would just have created more autonomy in turning around and going, okay, you have came for this. You are, how would you currently feel that you're getting on in comparison to that? What are your current behaviors in relation to your goal? What do you feel like are the main causes are getting in the way? How motivated do you feel to actually do it? Because right now it feels like probably my feedback would be you're not there, and I'd probably deliver it better than I did back then. So yeah, I would get them to reflect on their behaviors and current habits versus the goal. What they come for, and therefore what they're paying for. That's how I would change it if I were to go back. Anything you'd add?
No.
Am I still glitchy or am I okay?
No, you're right, but audio-wise, good.
Okay. I have. Oh, wait a minute. I have three clients who are due to finish with me at the end of April. How would you approach them about renewing?
You missed one.
Okay, one second.
Pain.
Oh, I fully lost my way here then. One week without doing this, and then oh, where are we all the way up there? Is it I've been learning? I've been learning about motivational interviewing recently and trying to incorporate it into my consultations as well as conversations with clients. I find it really hard to properly listen and think at the same time, though. Any advice, or is it just a case of doing more practice?
It's definitely more practice, 100%, because it's a skill. I think in different scenarios, such as like, think when you're, there's a couple of different things. The first thing is you are responding most of the time with paraphrasing, summaries, and open questions. So in regards to being able to think on the spot, I think you've just got to, I would focus on listening more than trying to think about the next immediate step or the next thing you're going to say, because I would find that difficult. I think anyone find that difficult when you're trying to actively listen, but then also think ahead and try and know the answers. So I think just start to get really curious, listen first and work out the response later. And even if you're buying yourself time in regards to the responses, you know, a lot of paraphrasing, though not every single sentence, obviously. But specifically when they get into challenges, goals, aspirations, hang-ups, those are the types of things you really want to focus on when you paraphrase. And then use the W questions, like the what, why, when, where, who. Those types of questions will help you. If you're in a consultation, I would get a bank of questions down and highlight some go-to ones in each phase of MI, in each of those four phases, to help you. And the last thing I'd say is just have that structure, have that structure down from MI, and using something like OAS as well, where it can kind of just help guide you on track a little bit. That's what I'd say. Anything you'd add?
No.
Bloody marvelous. Next one is, started this month at minus dot 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 due to historical refund, which has only just come into effect. With the urgency I have now to find clients and recoup that money, as well as pay next month's bills, how would you approach this week?
How would I approach it? I would make sure I make a plan for the warmest leads I have. So say, for example, I've got an email list from people who I have had lead, who have come in through lead magnets. I would prioritize putting something out for them in terms of an offer. And I would build up, plant the seed a little bit, saying, right, going to put something out towards the end of the week. And that might be a value added offer. So if they come in now, they get X, Y, and Z on top of what they currently get, or it might be a slightly discounted rate, or it might be the first month, whatever. So some form of offer for the warmest leads that I have within my business right now. So I'd be driving that, probably doing something every day. I would also probably go to my immediate clients and maybe do some form of quick referral scheme that benefits them. So that's the second thing I probably would do, because they're the warmest people from a word of mouth perspective. And then I would make sure that my awareness was high and I was asking for the business every single day on my socials if I've been consistent prior to that. I would then, last point, I would probably go to my immediate circle and start to direct message people about maybe a new service or whatever it is, for it to sound exciting, to take some inquiries from my immediate circle to get people to share for me as well. So yeah, I'd look at warmest leads, so i.e. email list or people you've been speaking to on DMs. I would make sure that I drove something that was of high value to that market in regards to the words I use and the offer that I created. And then I would make sure that I was just relentless telling people where they could inquire and sign up every single day, using all of them different mediums that I've just said. Yeah, they would be the main things. Let me think if there was anything else that I would do this week. Now, I would just make sure that I wouldn't let myself off the hook as well. I would make sure that I'd book in specific time to really laser focus in on marketing and sales for myself in every hour that I need to across my week. And I would not let myself off the hook, regardless of anything else that you've got going on. And you'll probably more than likely find that you'll get a quick return on that stuff. Anything you'd add to that? What's the next question? What do you? Okay. Someone very successful in the fitness industry said on their podcast the other day, email marketing is dead and from the 80s. Do you agree? I'm not sure I do because I've bought from both emails and Instagram myself, but was interested to hear your thoughts. What does the future of marketing look like in your opinion? Is podcasting becoming the new dominant, the more dominant tool to use? Thanks.
Is email marketing dead? No, quite frankly. And I think you answer your own question, whoever said asked this question. No, it's not. Is there a lot more variety out there? 100%. Listen, when it comes to marketing, whether it's social media, whether it's emails, whether it's podcasts, whether it's local business marketing, whether it's Facebook ads, whether it's organic, whether it's LinkedIn. Like it's like us sitting here and saying there's only one way to lose body fat. Like everyone's got their own methods that work for them and they feel more comfortable with and more sustainable with. And that's cool. Like some people won't buy off email, some people will, some people will buy off direct messaging, some people won't. What I think needs to be important is you've got a good, I would say, variety of short and long form content that enables you to get your personality across, give value, give people opportunity to understand who you work with, how you work with them, what results you get, how they inquire. And that can be done through podcasts, emails, socials, face-to-face, gym floor, local business, Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube. So no, it's not. It's absolutely not dead. Are there different ways of doing it than there was in the 80s? Yeah, of course there is. But I think it's about finding your flow and how you like to communicate, what you prefer, what your clients prefer, and being really consistent with it and experimenting because marketing is one big fucking experiment. Anything you'd add?
No. No. No, no. No. What you'll find is actually there is, I've got something to add. What you'll find is people are going to have a bias towards each the market that they buy into most. It's just a fact. If, like you see, if people get really good results off ads, they become the ads guy within the industry. People get really result great results off email, become the email guy. So I would just be conscious of people's bias. That's all.
Next question. Lead magnet ideas for my target audience, please.
Lazy bastard, hey, Nick. Right. So for context, this person's target audience are males mainly who want to pack on muscle. And are predominantly kind of corporate, not corporate, but office-based workers, that type of stuff. I could go on, but I can't be asked going on. But so I'm just going to give some ideas. So you've got to think of it in terms of when you're looking at a lead magnet in terms of the problems you need to solve and the outcomes that it's going to give people. So you could play on the leg narrative for that audience of going maybe a squat specialization to grow your legs. Maybe it's a deadlift lead magnet to walk them through how to and how to get stronger all of that type of stuff with the deadlift or the variations of the deadlift. So they're two fairly simple specializations that you could do. You could even do some form of all-round program that you could do for that type of demographic, but make sure that the messaging on the front end's good in terms of the outcomes that they're going to get from it. What else? You could potentially play on the fact that that demographics, one of their problems is the fact that they probably go out and socialize a hell of a lot. So it might be based around how to keep the beers in with the football and still lose body fat, something like that. And you're doing a bit of a program slash ebook. What else could you do? I want to give some more practical examples. I think sometimes as well, like a lot of it is going to be similar, but the messaging will be different. So like the X method to packing on muscle and losing body fat. Now we all know that's a load of bullshit. It's going to depend on a lot of variables, but also your marketing's got to be a bit cliche, a bit cheesy and a bit manipulative. Like, doesn't mean to say that you're not going to deliver on them things, because you might put information into the lead magnet to enable for them to do that. So you've got to think like that. What else? What other ideas? Giveaway as a lead magnet is a really simple one every single time for most demographics. They might be for your that demographic as well, is they usually avoid cardio, or if they do cardio, it's normally a hobby or some, in my opinion, shit based cardio, like walking on a Stairmaster or a treadmill or whatever. So you might do some type of conditioning to lose body fat before the summer. They're all different ones. Anything you'd add to that, Nick, for his market?
No.
No. I thought we'd get some good ideas from you then, but no. No?
No.
Okay, Nick. The T-shirt muscle builder. Next question. Is there a question? Is there a question?
How to make any meat? No, I'm not going to say that.
I, do you know what else? I play on the stuff that you want people to learn. So like, let's say for argument's sake, in your demographic, they're used to doing the bro split, right? And although great for some, you know there's a more optimal way of them getting a bigger bang for their buck from their training. So then you sell the lead magnet of X method to take bro split to this, to like training from bro split, 1 day a week muscle groups to 3 days a week. That type of stuff needs to be on the front end. So yeah, have a play about with some of that stuff. Was that the last question?
Yeah, I think it was, yeah.
I lost my way there with questions. Any final thoughts?
No, none today. None. Zero. Nothing. Jack.
Good. Okay. Sweet. Happy days. See you all later.
See you in a bit.